today, with the Lord's help, we want to consider the words of verse 3 in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 3 reads, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Paul was very concerned about the church in Philippi and about the possibility of division appearing in that congregation because of the dispute and a difference which had arisen between two sisters in the Lord, namely Euodias and Syntyche. He had appealed to Euodias and to Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul was aware that if this dispute went on too long, there was the possibility that it would divide the church. Other church members would be taking sides in the issue and in the affair, and the church would be divided over this particular matter. We pointed out last week that this must have been some petty difference, something of very little importance, because Paul does not tell us what the matter was, what the bone of contention was. He didn't think it important enough to tell us. He had already appealed to the congregation to stand fast in the Lord. But how could they stand fast in the Lord against those whom he described in chapter 3 as the enemies of the cross, if a division was developing within the congregation? They couldn't stand fast then against the enemies of the cross. And this was a truth that the Savior himself emphasized when one day he said to his hearers, "If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Mark 3 and verse 25. And so, aware of this danger, the apostle makes another appeal. He has appealed to the congregation in verse 1 to make sure that they don't compromise. Stand fast in the Lord. He then in verse 2 makes the second appeal to those two sisters in the Lord with regard to their conflict. He appeals to them to be reconciled. And now in this third verse, Paul makes another appeal. This time the appeal is to the congregation and to some individuals within that congregation. For aware of this danger of division, the apostle makes an appeal, this time to all who were involved in the Lord's work. "I entreat." The word "entreat" is the same word that he uses in verse 2, only there it is translated "beseech." It is a strong word. And Paul was beseeching or entreating those in the congregation. He was doing so with feeling and with all of his heart. "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, namely Euodias and Syntyche, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." In other words, Paul wanted all of his fellow workers and laborers and fellow Christians in the church at Philippi to close ranks against the devil knowing that the devil, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, would seek to use the dispute between the two women to fragment and divide the whole church. So here we have Paul's third exhortation. And this time he exhorts the church to make sure they give themselves to cooperating with one another in spreading the message of the gospel. So here we have, first of all, Paul's appeal. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Having appealed to Euodias and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, the apostle then makes another appeal, saying, I entreat thee also. I've already spoken to the two women. Now I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. He is appealing to someone in the congregation whom he describes as a true yoke fellow. He singles this person out from all the rest. He was Paul's yoke fellow. He describes him as a true yoke fellow. And he wants this person, this man, to help those women. To help those women to be reconciled. Now, who this person was, we're not given the identity of this true yoke fellow. Some think that yoke fellow is really the meaning of the person's name, which would mean that the person's name, proper name, was Synsagos. Synsagos is the Greek word for yoke fellow. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I personally would not make that interpretation. And really, if the Lord hasn't given us his name, then I feel it's futile to spend time trying to find out the person's name. We can learn a number of things about this person, even though we're not given his name. He's called a true yoke fellow. And we can learn something about him without speculating about his name. Whoever he was, Paul had enough confidence in him to appeal to him to help those women be reconciled. Paul put this man in that position to speak to the women, to speak to Euodias and Syntyche, and see that they could not settle their differences, and that they could be reconciled. So what kind of a man was this true yoke fellow? First of all, we can see he was a spiritual man. Of that there is no doubt. Unable to be there himself to help those women settle their differences, Paul needed someone to take his place. And that person needed to be a very spiritual person. For it would need a spiritually minded, wise man to come in and bring those women together again, that they would once again be involved in the Lord's work, the good work that they used to do. They had turned from that work because they could no longer work together in serving the Lord. Since they had shown spiritual immaturity, because it is a sign of spiritual immaturity when two people fall out over some minor petty matter. And it appears that that was the case here with Eunice and Syntyche. Some petty difference had arisen between them, and they had fallen out over it. And that's why Paul appealed to them, be of the same mind in the Lord. And yet they had shown their spiritual immaturity in allowing a petty difference to divert them from the work that they had been involved in for the Lord. Then Paul needed someone who would handle the situation in a spiritual way. A man who would pray with them. A man who would show them from Scripture where they were wrong. And remember again, Paul had appealed to both women. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche. He appealed to the both women. Because neither one of the women was prepared to make the first move. To come and say I'm sorry. Or to come and apologize. So Paul appeals to the both of the women. And here Paul needed a man who would handle the situation wisely and spiritually. And so I believe this true yoke fellow was a spiritual man. Would you turn with me please to Galatians? And I believe this emphasizes the truth that this yoke fellow was a spiritual man. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. There we read Paul writing to the church at Galatia. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. In other words, don't add fuel to the fire. But if someone has been overtaken in a fault, let the spiritually minded people of the congregation seek to restore that individual. Seek to help that person get back on the rails again and into fellowship with the Lord. That's the work of spiritual people. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, think about yourself, lest thou also be tempted, lest ye also fall and are overtaken in a fault. And that's why I believe that this true yoke fellow was a spiritual man. He was going to endeavor to restore Eudeus and Syntyche. Restore their fellowship and their union. And restore them again to the position that they held in the church when they assisted Paul in his laboring in the gospel. Notice Paul tells us that the spiritually minded Christian will endeavor to restore the one who has fallen. That word restore. Restore means perfectly joined together. It means to make perfect. It means to mend. Isn't that a lovely word? Help them to mend their relationship. Help them to mend their ways. Help them to settle their differences. Encourage them to be of the same mind in the Lord. What was this bone of contention? What was it worth in the light of Calvary? What was it worth in the light of those around them who were perishing in their sins and needed to hear the gospel? And so Paul called upon this true yoke fellow to help those women who labored with him in the gospel. And he wants them to mend the breach that has arisen between them. That's what Paul wanted his true yoke fellow to do, and to do it in the spirit of meekness. He was a spiritual man. Let us likewise deal with similar situations that arise in our lifetime, in our lives. Help us to deal with these matters in a spiritual way, in the spirit of meekness. Can you imagine what would have happened there in the church at Galatia amongst those who would have been carnally minded? Why they would have been gossiping from one day to the next, putting down the person who had fallen. Paul says, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Let us look at similar matters spiritually and seek to restore that person who has fallen. I believe something else about this man. He was not only a spiritual man, he was a sincere man, this true yoke fellow. For that's how Paul describes him, as a true yoke fellow. There was nothing shallow or false about this man's witness or testimony. Paul said he was a true yoke fellow. He was genuine. He was a true Christian, a true worker, a true helper, a true laborer in the Lord's work. And there was no disputing that fact. He's a true yoke fellow. That word true, true yoke fellow, the word true means genuine, means sincere. So now we are building up a picture of this man, even though his name is not given. We're building up a picture. He was a spiritual man, and he was a sincere man. He was genuine. He was sincere. Paul could not have chosen a better individual to deal with this matter that had arisen between the two women. The word is used by Paul elsewhere. If you turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and there we read in verse 2. 1 Timothy 1 verse 2. On the Timothy, my own son in the faith. It is the word own. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, or my true son in the faith. It's the same word. And you have the same word in Titus 1 and verse 4, where Paul speaks about Titus being his own son according to the faith. And he's saying, he's my true son. And of Timothy, he's my true son. They are genuinely my sons in the Lord. That cannot be denied. And so this yoke fellow, whoever he was a genuine, sincere individual. Therefore, he was best suited to help these women to forget their differences and be reconciled. And the woman would know that this individual was indeed a spiritual and sincere man. I would believe he would have their respect. Perhaps he would endeavor to find out how genuine and sincere they were about the Lord's work. Paul wanted to know how sincere the Corinthians were. They professed to love the Lord. But Paul wanted to know just how sincere they were. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians 8. And verse 8. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. You tell me you love the Lord, but I want you to prove your sincerity. Paul speaks about the churches in Macedonia who had supported him and stood with him. And he's saying to the believers at Corinth, I want you to do the same. I want you to prove your sincerity. It is the same word here translated, true. The word sincere or sincerity. So with these women, then prove the sincerity of their love by settling their differences and getting back to doing something worthwhile for the Lord. Paul said, help those women which labored with me. We pointed out last week, the word labor means to strive. Paul says they were striving with me. They strove with me in the gospel. But look what's happening now. They're striving against one another. They ought to be striving for the Lord. Instead, they were striving with each other. Now, Paul, or the yoke fellow, would have put it to them, as Paul put it to the believers at Corinth, all right, prove your love. Prove the sincerity of your love. And forget your differences and get on with the work of God. How sincerely do you love the Lord and His work? In Philippians, in chapter 1, and verse 10, Paul says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, and without offense till the day of Christ. You see, he had already called upon all the believers to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This true yoke fellow was a spiritual man. This true yoke fellow was a sincere man. And this true yoke fellow was a serving man. Isn't that what Paul says? I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. In other words, he was yoked together with Paul. The two of them worked together in the Lord's work, in spreading the gospel, in preaching Jesus Christ. They were yoked together. He and Paul being yoked together would be perfect examples of how two people can work together for the Lord. It's little wonder then that Paul chose this man to go and speak to Euodias and Syntyche about again working together, because they would look at this man and they would know this man was yoked with Paul. He worked with Paul. They labored together. They had no doubt different personalities, and they thought differently about different things, but they worked together. They were yoke fellows. And he was the one, Paul, wanted to go and speak to the women. You see, when two oxen are yoked together, they must pull in the same direction. Can you imagine what a headache it would be for the farmer if the two oxen then sharing the same yoke were pulling in different directions? That's what was happening with Euodias and Syntyche. Paul and this other man were working together. What did Amos tell us? Amos tells us, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so Euodias and Syntyche were not walking together because they were not in agreement. Paul appealed to them, be of the same mind in the Lord. The example of Paul and his brother being yoked together in the Lord's service would be an example for Euodias and Syntyche to follow. While the two sisters in the Lord were in dispute, they could not walk together and they couldn't work together. And was the work of the Lord that was suffering. Was the work of the Lord that was suffering. They needed to settle their differences and be yoked together and again be striving for the Lord. Remember one of our ministers preached the gospel mission in his own church. Mission went for 3 weeks, and after the first week there was no outward signs of anyone coming to Christ. In fact, the minister said he felt a terrible hardness in the meetings during the first week. So the beginning of the second week in the morning, preached a message to believers. And he preached a message to believers with regard to unity and along the same lines or theme of Paul here in the opening verses of Philippians chapter 4. The Lord took that word that morning and spoke to a number of people in the church who hadn't spoken to one another in months. They had fallen out over some silly thing. And they'd come to the Lord's house and weren't able to speak with one another and fellowship with one another. And God rebuked them that morning. And the individuals concerned came to one another and apologized and got right with God. And that night, the beginning of the second week of the mission, two or three people got saved. And it was a great mission. The remaining nights of the campaign. There were those in the congregation who up until that time had fallen out and were quarreling. And what was it that was suffering? The work of God. And Paul could see the danger of this happening in the church at Philippi. The women had only to think about what Paul had said to them about the Lord. Over in chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 7. No wonder Paul said, let those women be of the same mind in the Lord. He pointed them to the Lord. And now in the Philippians 2 and verse 7, Paul had said with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Those two women had been serving the Lord. But their petty differences had put an end to that. And all they had to do was to think about the Lord. And the things that were said about him. But the Lord went on serving. The Lord went on serving because he took upon him the form of a servant. Christ is a true servant. It would have been good if the women had have followed the example of Paul and his yoke fellow. It would be better if they had have thought about Christ and his service. If anyone had any reason to take offense over what was said about him, it was the Lord. When his own disciples forsook him, when Peter denied him with oaths and curses, Christ could have taken offense at that. But he didn't. He just went on serving his heavenly Father. All these women could learn from the Lord. So we have Paul's appeal. And then you have Paul's associates. For in this verse 3, Paul speaks about all those who labored with him in the gospel. He mentions those who had labored and worked and toiled with him and strove with him in the gospel. Here he mentions his companions. He mentions the true yoke fellow. He mentions those women which labored with him in the gospel. He mentions Clement, an individual that we don't read about anywhere else. And then he mentions other my fellow laborers. So we have the yoke fellow, we have the two women, we have Clement, and also his fellow laborers. And here we see Paul's many workers. Quite a number of people mentioned there in that verse 3. Paul had many workers, many companions, many fellow laborers. Evidently, Paul knew and believed that he couldn't do all the work himself. He needed others to help him. If he was going to minister and spread the gospel in Macedonia and in Philippi particularly, he needed others to help him. He couldn't do it all by himself. And so here you have Paul's many workers. Not only here, but elsewhere do we read about Paul's many fellow laborers. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Paul's closing his letter to the believers at Rome. And as he does so, he mentions all those who had stood with him and worked with them and labored with them. Look there, Romans 16, verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also, a servant of the church, was Phoebe. Look at verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Look at verse 9. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ. Helpers, companions, workers. Look at verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Some labored in the Lord, others labored much in the Lord. Look at verse 21. Timotheus, my work fellow. And how can we forget what Paul had to say about Epaphroditus there in Philippians 2 and verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. See, all those who are involved in the spread of the gospel and assisting Paul. And believer, every church needs the help of many workers. Needs the help of many workers to spread the good news of the gospel. Not only do we see here Paul's many workers, but we look at the makeup of his workers. In that verse 3, once again, I entreat thee, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. You see, Paul's workers were made up of both men and women. Ioneus and Syntyche were his fellow laborers. Men and women helped Paul in the spread of the gospel. Perhaps they had labored with him in prayer, which was something Paul had called for. Look back in Romans there, in Romans 15. And there, in verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the sake of the Lord, Paul says, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive. And it's the same word that is used to describe Ioneus and Syntyche and what they did for the Lord. They labored with me, Paul says. They strove with me. It's the same word as we have here. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me, in your prayers to God for me. Will you pray for me? Will you labor with me in prayer? That's what Paul is appealing for. Will you pray with me? Will you labor with me at the throne of grace? Perhaps they were like Phoebe. And we just read about there in Romans 16. Maybe that's how they labored with Paul. What did it say about Phoebe? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. That word succorer means encourager. That's what Phoebe did. She was an encourager. Paul called her a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. What did she do there? She encouraged the servants of the Lord. That was her work. Paul says she has encouraged many. She's the succor of many and of myself also. Paul, the great apostle, the great missionary, the great preacher, needed encouragement as much as anybody else. God's servants need to be encouraged. The Lord himself had those who ministered with him. Yes, he had the 12 disciples. He had also the 70, you remember, whom he sent out. But he also had the women. He had women who ministered with him and ministered unto him. We read about them there in Luke 8. And there in Luke 8 we read in verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. Many other women which ministered unto him of their substance. They ministered unto him. They ministered unto him. Paul said to Iodias and Syntyche, be of the same mind in the Lord. Think about the Lord. Start ministering unto him once again. So we see Paul's many workers. We see the makeup of his workers. And then in verse 3 of Philippians 4, we see Paul's mystery workers. For what does Paul say there? I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, we don't know his name. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. Who were they? He doesn't give us their names. He's given us the name of three. Iodias and Syntyche and Clement. But then he just mentions other my fellow laborers. In fact, that word other is a word that simply means the rest. The rest of them. The rest of the fellow workers. So that was the category they fell into. We know about Iodias and Syntyche and Clement. And then he speaks about the rest. Unknown servants of the Lord. Some are named. And the others are just called the rest. These unnamed workers teach us that while the Lord has workers whose names are known and will always be remembered for what they have accomplished for the Lord, yet there will be others and will never know their names. Even though they have accomplished many things for the Lord. We know about Hudson Taylor. We know about C.T. Studd. We know about William Carey. We know about Jonathan Goforth. But what about the hundreds of other missionaries who sacrificed all and went to far off lands and served the Lord just as faithfully? They would be called the rest. We know about George Whitefield, John Wesley. We know about C.H. Spurgeon, Robert Murray McShane, Andrew Bonner. But what about the other men who occupied pulpits and were just as faithful in preaching the gospel, whose names are not known except by a few? We have the well known, and then we have the rest. But what does it matter whether we're well known or unknown? All that matters is that we're ministering unto Him. As Horatius Bonner has written the words, "Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thine earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. Then what are men?" And very briefly, in closing, we have Paul's companions. And then Paul calls for cooperation. Reading the words of verse 3, do we not get the sense of unity and cooperation among the workers? Yoke fellow, labored with me, fellow laborers. The reference there surely is, and the emphasis there is upon cooperation. And that is what Paul was dealing with here. There was cooperation in the church, with the exception of two people, Euodias and Syntyche. And that's what concerned Paul. As we've already pointed out, the quarrel that had arisen between the two women, he didn't want it to spread and destroy the cooperation and the unity that he had witnessed in the church. And here Paul calls upon all the workers to be of the same mind in the Lord. Help those women. That word help is a word that means to take hold of. To hold on to more than one thing at the same time. That's what the word means. Take hold of at the same time. And Paul was calling upon the yoke fellow and the congregation to work together, to take hold of these two women and bring them together and mend their differences. Because he wanted the whole church to be of one mind and the same mind in the Lord. In Luke chapter 5, the Lord is with his disciples. Peter particularly has labored all night and caught nothing. Then the Lord told him where to let down the net. And we read then in verse 7 of Luke 5. And they beckoned on to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Same word. Help those women. He beckoned on to his partners that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ship so that they began to sink. Come and help. Cooperation. Help us get the fish into the ship. Among others, Paul tells us that God has set some in the church. Apostles, miracle workers. And then he mentions helps. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Helps in the church. Believer, we're all to be helpers. We're to help one another. We're to help in the spread of the gospel. We're to help in winning the lost for Christ. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 16, submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Just being a helper is a work that the Lord will bless. We've run out of time and have other things to say, but we'll leave it until next time with regard to this matter of cooperation. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women. Help to bring them together, that the work may go forward. Help those women which labored, strove with me in the gospel with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. May we all here enjoy that spirit of cooperation and help. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious Father, we gather again unto Thee. We have heard Thy word. We have looked into Thy word. Now, Lord, write Thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. Yea, Lord, place Thy word deep within our hearts. May we learn from what we have heard today. May we learn from Eudeus and Syntyche. May we learn from that true yoke fellow. May we learn from Paul. Yea, best of all, may we learn from Christ. O Lord, may we meditate upon Thy truth and look forward to the evening meeting when once again, Lord, we can spend time around the Word, fellowship one with the other, and fellowship with our Savior. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now, forevermore. Amen.